denied our own responsibility for our own most grievous faults. Once we've done this, even in a small matter, we have begun to erode the contours of reality. We can't quite get our story straight, and this can't help but affect our lives, our health, and our relationships, most directly and most profoundly our relationship with God. That's a big claim, I know, and some people might think I'm exaggerating. The rest of the book, I pray, will bear this lesson out. It's a lesson I began to learn the hard way long before I believed in God or saw a confessional. Pittsburgh Steeler. I have a confession to make. In my early teens, I ran with the sort of crowd that is every parent's nightmare. We did some minor mischief before moving on to petty crime. For a while, shoplifting at the mall was our Saturday afternoon pastime. One day, I got caught stealing record albums. I won't tire you with the details just now. I'll only say that I was more skillful as a liar than as a thief. Two store detectives, both middle-aged women, hauled me off to the department store's interrogation room. I must have looked pitiful. I was the smallest kid in my eighth grade class. I was 13, but I looked about 10. One of the detectives looked at me and said, "You look too young to steal. Did you steal those albums for yourself?" She didn't know it, but with those words she had given me my alibi. Working from her mere suggestion, I fabricated a story about how a group of local kids, known delinquents and drug users, threatened to beat up my friend and me unless we stole albums for them. The interrogator's face flushed with a motherly indignation. "How could they do such a thing? Why didn't you tell your mom?" "I was afraid," I said meekly. A Pittsburgh police officer soon arrived, and in short order I managed, with the store detective's help, to persuade them that the real guilt lay elsewhere than with me. The police, in turn, helped me to make the case convincingly for my mother. Scot free. Soon I was literally home free. When Mom parked the car in our driveway, I mumbled something about being tired. She was sympathetic. I went directly to my room and closed the door. Immediately I heard muffled conversation from downstairs. I couldn't make out words, but I knew that the soft voice was my mother's, and that the voice gradually rising in volume and pitch was my dad's. This didn't bode well. Soon the sound of heavy feet came padding up the steps, and then down the hall to my room. I felt more than heard the knock at the door. It was Dad, of course. And I let him in. He fixed his eyes on mine, which immediately shifted to a distant point on the carpet. "Your mother told me what happened today." I nodded. He kept staring at me. "You were made to steal those record albums?"
"Yeah."
He looked at me hard and repeated, "You were made to steal records?" As I nodded again in reply, I could see his eyes shift toward the towering stack of records beside my stereo. He looked back toward me. "And where'd you drop the records off after you stole them?"
"At a tree stump," I replied.
"In the woods, near the mall."
"Can you show me that tree stump?"
I nodded again.
"Okay," he said. "Get your coat, Scotty. Let's go for a walk."
Forest Clump. The woods were about 300 yards from our house, and the mall was about a half-mile walk through the woods. The foliage was thick, so I was sure I'd see lots of tree stumps. All I'd have to do is choose one. Sure enough, as we walked, I saw plenty of trees, plenty of leaves, plenty of twigs, even some fallen branches, but a conspicuous absence of stumps. My dad had let me lead, so he couldn't see my